This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
So I'm Adam Thornhill. I'm a programmer, and I have my background in programming and psychology. And what I've been trying to do over the past 15 years is to combine these two fields. So I look at our technical discipline from a psychological perspective.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Adam Thornhill about code as a crime scene. Now let me introduce a special guest.
Hello, my name is Len Gresky. By day, I help large companies improve their effectiveness in their product development.
The book also popularized the use of hotspots to identify complex code that you have to work with often. Could you share how hotspots work and why they're so important?
So if you ever start to analyze code, you will quickly learn that when it comes to things like technical debt, the hard part of any code analysis is not in identifying bad code, because there is so much of it out there, right? So it's pretty easy to find bad code that could have been better. Now, the problem is, of course, as software developers or even as a software organization, we have limited time. And we always need to balance the delivery of new features, new capabilities with improving existing code. And it's a very hard balance. So that probably means that we cannot refactor all code we want to refactor, right? We cannot improve all of it, because then we wouldn't be able to ship anything else. So what hotspots do is that they help us identify the most critical parts of the code base. And they work by doing something I call behavioral code analysis. So what I do here is that I'm not just looking at the code. I'm also looking at how are we as developers interacting with the code we're building. And that's data I pull from version control, typically from Git. So I simply look at, okay, where is the commit activity happening? And how frequently do we modify a particular piece of code? Because it turns out there are patterns to our modifications, right? And what that means is that most of our development activity tends to be in a very, very small part of the code. And that's what I call hotspots, right? They are development hotspots. And usually you can take a large code base and narrow it down to maybe 1-3% of the total code base. Those are the hotspots. And the thing is that if we talk about something like technical debt, even a minor amount of technical debt in a hotspot will become very expensive, because the high change rate of that hotspot, that's like the interest you have to pay on that tech debt. So that's how hotspots work and why they are useful.
Yeah, I think that's an important finding, because if we use that metaphor about exercise again, and if you're asking people to exercise, they don't know how much to exercise. Well, what do you mean I should exercise? Should I spend every 5 minutes exercising? Should I exercise 3 times a week? How much exercise should I do? And I think what you're creating there now is a way to be strategic about how you do this activity of, not in this case, exercise, but how you would do it to for improving software. So another add to that is that managers would often ask me how to know if they're doing too much code cleanup, or how to know if they're, what are the boundaries? And that was a very difficult problem for me to answer, because I would kind of look at it aesthetically and I couldn't express I didn't have a clear answer. But this is a nice clear answer. It says, well, if you change the code a lot, then it's higher value to improve it, so that you're wasting less money to get those improvements put in.
Yeah, I think it's important, particularly when we have that conversation with the product or management about what to improve and what not. So hotspots actually send a positive message, because they tell you that no, all your code isn't equally important from a technical debt perspective. And there are actually parts of the code where you can get away with having fairly poor quality, right? Where you can have some technical debt. You can live with it safely because those parts of the code are stable. They might have been debugged into functionality years ago, right? So if we start to improve those parts of the code, what will happen is that it comes with an opportunity cost. we would probably be spending time on improving something that doesn't have to be improved, and we would miss an opportunity to improve what could really make a difference in the short term. So hotspots do send a positive message even to management.
Let's talk about this this other book that you have called Software Design X-Rays. The subtitle is Fix Technical Debt with Behavioral Code Analysis. And that's another book published by Pragmatic Programmer. We might be hitting some repetition here, but let's see. How do you make an economic case for fixing technical debt?
Yes, we're hitting a little bit of repeat there, but not too much. You could, of course, use the code red findings, right? So you could measure your code health. You could see in which category do you land, and in particular, in which category do your hotspots land, right? And then you could put some economic value on that in terms of delivery speed. But one technique I've been using a lot is that goes back to the X-ray days, is to measure the amount of unplanned work in your system. And this is an analysis you can do by looking at your product lifecycle tool. So if you use something like Jira or Trello or Azure DevOps, if you take all the tasks you work on and then you split them into two different categories, so you have planned work, that's the kind of stuff that you have on your roadmap or the improvements that you plan. And then you have the other category, which is unplanned work. And these are the things that we didn't anticipate. So unplanned work is typically a production crash, bug report from a user, that kind of stuff. And once you have that partitioning between planned and unplanned work, then you can start to reason about the cost of technical debt. Because in software, I'm pretty confident that we can never get to zero when it comes to unplanned work. There's always going to be some amount of unplanned work. I think software is too hard for humans. But the thing is that we want it to be below 15%. Because if the amount of unplanned work increases to more than 15%, then it's going to be really, really visible and frustrating to the organization. Because not only are we going to waste time fixing things that we could have fixed up front, it's also going to be a constant source of interruptions, right? So all these bugs that come in, we need to context switch, we need to do something else, it kind of just adds to the frustration. And I've seen organizations that run with 60, 70% of their work week being unplanned. So that's like a massive, massive waste. And we can just multiply that by the number of engineers and number of working hours. And we can actually put a value on how much the technical debt costs us in money.
And that's a really good way to tie in what happens after the software is delivered to customers or end users. It's like its runtime operational characteristics and how they show up as, you know, bad economics for the software developers.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's very important. And it's something I think is easy to miss. So a lot of companies I work with, they do a pretty good job at kind of estimating the cost of building something, right? But what we're usually not so good at is kind of planning for what comes next. Once we put this feature or capability into production, how much will that cost us, right? And over time, you kind of tap out your power to ship new features, because with poor quality, your whole organization will become extremely reactive, right? And you will spend virtually all your time just keeping the lights on and do very little innovation. So paying down technical debt can actually help organizations become more innovative too.
Well, and you covered some of this in your code as a crime scene, referring to the, you know, research from, was it Glass in 1992, and that 40 to 80% of the total lifecycle cost of a software application is spent in maintenance, and how little research there was after that. Now you can make the argument that 90% of what you spend on a software application occurs after its initial delivery, and most organizations aren't paying attention to that part of the cost curve.
Yes, and I think what's so important, it's something I learned when I wrote the second edition of Your Code as Crime Scene this year, because I was trying to update all those references and look at, okay, what else have we learned since I wrote that first edition? And what turns out with these total lifecycle costs being spent on maintenance is that those numbers have actually doubled over the past 50 years. So maintenance is becoming more and more important, not less. And I think it's simply because our software systems, they live much, much longer today, right?
Yeah, when I saw that chart on page 17 of the new edition, I almost had an aneurysm. It's like it's doubled in the last 20 years. That's kind of shocking.
Yeah, I agree. And it should change how we value good code, right? How we value beautiful code, because beautiful code is something that helps us make sure that we spend all these maintenance dollars on something that actually benefits the company and increases the developer happiness.
Agile Thoughts wants your help. However you find our show, be it through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the other podcast aggregation systems, go ahead and leave us a review. Click some stars, and that will help us grow the show. Thank you. Check out the show notes. And in there, you will see links to the several books that Adam Tornhill is an author of about code and design. And also, you'll find links to other things such as Adam's talk at GoTo and his TEDx talk. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy tapping. If you don't use a podcast player, well, go back to the website where you downloaded this MP3, and there you will see the show notes. The first of the series started in episode 261. So if you're like my friend Zoe, you can find that episode by going back to the Agile Thoughts website at agilethoughts.info. And there you will find a search box where you can type in any episode number that you desire. And it will find it. Next episode, more Adam Tornhill. Now you have this next question I want to ask is about sharing a before versus after example of technical debt removal and actual versus predicted economic impact. Do you have anything you can share about that?
Oh yeah, I have so many stories about that. And I'm going to try to pick one impactful story. So this is also something that happened a couple of years ago. I did some, was before CodeSyn, but I had my crime scene techniques. So I did some work for a product company, and they were developing a fairly complicated communication layer. And this communication layer was tied to a customer contract, so it had a very hard deadline. But of course, they had a bunch of internal deadlines, and that development had been going on for, I think, 2 years. And it turned out that they had missed one internal deadline after another. And each time the gut response from management had been to add more people to the project. So what started out as a small project now had 25 people on it. And now finally, this final deadline started to approach, and the software was nowhere near a functional state. It simply didn't work.